Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The word antediluvian means before the great flood in the days of Noah. It has reference to that period of time between the creation and that flood that is recorded in Genesis. Just exactly how long a period that was, we're not in a position to be certain and dogmatic. The Bible does not give us a date of the creation or the age and antiquity of man. It does not tell us how long the earth has existed. And we place ourselves in an unnecessary and complicated situation to try to assign a certain number of years for this period. But having said that, let us hasten to add, however, that this admission is not an allowance for the millions and millions of years that evolutionists like to say that the earth and the universe has existed. Scientific evidence contradicts such extended periods of time. The theory of uniformitarianism, that's not a valid theory, because it denies such events as the flood, even the creation, and other miraculous interventions on the part of God. It is a concoction of unbelievers that is designed to prop up the unproven and the unprovable hypothesis of evolution as the explanation for the origin of man. It is to try to prop up the denial of God and refuse to accept man's accountability to him. The existence of the earth is more likely in the neighborhood of 10,000 years or less, but we have no obligation to specify such things. There was a calendar once created that gave the approximate period of 1,700 years to this antediluvian period, but we're not biblically obligated to defend that figure. That calculation is based upon the genealogies listed in the Scriptures, but failed to take into account the skips in genealogies that often take place because the genealogies were not designed to necessarily denote each generation, but only the lineage involved. And this is an irrelevant matter in our discussion anyway. Like most any other period of history, we find good things and we find evil things. But we need to note some of the characteristics of mankind in that age as the Bible reveals them. Contrary to the assertions of evolutionists, early man was not more animal than human, not a savage, not a wild man. So often we're provided the hypothetical pictures and drawings from the imaginations of unbelievers regarding the early appearance of man, and man is made to appear a little more than an animal, not quite human. But the Bible says man was created an intelligent, sane, complete creature. Atheistic or theistic evolution, either one denies the Scripture, and there is absolutely no harmony between Scripture and evolution of any sort. To accept the Darwinian theory of evolution, that man was beast and is now highly developed, is to deny the Word of God. Such a hypothesis is neither biblically nor scientifically compatible with what mankind can and does know. True enough, some of the descendants of early man seem to act more like savages than humans, but that is because of sin. And you do not have to go back into history to find examples of such degenerate conduct. Just look around you and the society of which we're all members, and you will see examples of this sorry condition with many people. When God created man, he made man superior to everything else of his creation and gave him superiority over all things. Man was created in the spiritual image of God, full grown, with talents and abilities, having intelligence and capacities and knowledge. Even before the flood, man had attained considerable skills and a high degree of civilization. Men were herdsmen, like Jabal, the father of tent dwellers and those that had cattle. There were musicians like Jubal, the father of all who handled the harp and the pipe. There were metallurgists, workers of metal, like Tubal-Cain, and the instructor of every artificer of brass and iron. There were builders, like Cain. He built a city, and he named it Enoch after his son. Farmers existed, and even Adam also knew how to till the earth and to make his livelihood therefrom. There were manifold evidences showing that early man, before the flood, was highly skilled, he was civilized, He had knowledge and ability. Even Noah had great abilities, sufficient to build the ark. Certainly mankind was not as mechanized as he is now. Many things have been learned, and they've been discovered through the centuries of man's existence. But to think that our ancestors were mere animals and savages and beasts of the field without any refinement or culture or such things is to degrade the race with nonsense. Our earliest foreparents could speak, they could communicate, not just grunt and act silly to convey their intents and messages, as we're sometimes led to believe by those who prefer to think of their fathers as brute beasts. Characteristic of this antediluvian period was the longevity of life. Adam lived 930 years. Seth lived 912 years. Methuselah lived 969 years, the longest life that is recorded in Scripture. Now, some have contended that was not possible. Why was it not possible? It is just because it does not occur now, it was not possible. All things are possible with God. There is no reason to consider these long periods of life to be anything other than literal designations of the time these people lived. God's word, having been verified and confirmed and proven, tells us how long they lived. And we prove ourselves fools whenever we try to show that God is ignorant and did not know whereof he spoke. Now, we do not profess to know why God allowed these people to live so long. That doesn't matter. He may have wanted them to live long so as to populate the earth. The world then may not have been as infected with disease as it is now. It may have been to expand the civilization. Whatever, we do not attempt to second-guess God. We simply believe his word. There are those who are always so anxious to appease and compromise with the skeptic and contend that the years really only meant months. And this would make Methuselah only about 80 years old, which is more to their human reasoning. But if that be true, then one whose name was Jared was only 5 months old when he fathered a child, for he fathered a child at 65. You see, this reduces the attempted compromise to the absurdity. When there is no reason to relegate biblical statements to the symbolic and figurative, we do the word injustice to attempt it. As usual, man's rationalization of what he does not understand produces far more complications than the mere acceptance of God's word. True enough, people do not live as long as before the flood. What changes in the world's environment were produced by the flood, or what changes God may have instigated then, remains unknown. The antediluvian period is very well known for its sinfulness. The first sin was in the Garden of Eden by Adam and Eve in disobedience to God. We read of Cain's murder of Abel resulting from his jealousy and envy. We read of presumptuousness on the part of Cain in his worship. We read of the ever-growing rebellion by mankind against God with lies, the neglect of personal responsibility, polygamy, immorality of various forms, evil marriages, until the Scripture records that every imagination of the thoughts of the hearts was only evil continually, Genesis 6 and verse 5. Once the floodgate of sin was opened, the devastation of sin and the weakness of man to resist temptation plunged man into spiritual and physical ruin. And now and again we read of noblemen during that period, like Enoch, who walked with God. And there was Noah also who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but these are exceptions. Lamech is the first man to be recorded to violate God's intent concerning marriage. He took two wives, Genesis 4 and verse 19, and the result of all of these transgressions was simply this. And it repented God that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. Genesis 6, verses 6 and 12. Genesis 6 and 11 tells us that the earth was filled with violence. Now, this certainly contributed to the necessity of destruction of such magnitude of wickedness by the flood. Man's misuse of power, the exploitation of his blessings, made violence commonplace. The extent of this evil is described in Genesis 6 and 5, as we have read. It is beyond ability to adequately picture the corrupt society, not in part, but of the whole, with minor exceptions. What should be sobering to us today, but which is dismissed by most, is that these same sins are running rampant in the world even yet. Now, when God saw the situation, God warned the antediluvian world. Although they were wicked and undeserving and they were sinful, God was concerned for them, as he has always been for the souls of people. Sacred history records their punishment, but not without having given them opportunity to repent. Noah is called a preacher of righteousness in 2 Peter 2:5. He was described as a perfect man, not meaning that he was without any fault, but he was blameless, he was without reproach, he was whole, he was complete, he was mature before God. And through Noah the Spirit of God did strive with man. Genesis 6 and verse 3. Hebrews 11 and verse 7 says, Noah condemned the world, warning of the destruction impending due to sin. Indications are that this man of faith, Hebrews 11, 7, spent 120 years warning his fellow beings of God's wrath, but to no avail except his own family. God was long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but there came a time when the long-suffering of God expired, and he ceased his persuasion through Noah. He executed his justice and wrath against the wicked generations in the form of the flood. Now, during this antediluvian period, there was worship of God through sacrifices, the use of altars, and other activities that were done by faith, which indicates that God's word had been given to them, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Worship has characterized every period of human history. At no time has God left man without instructions of how to worship him. Unfortunately, history shows that the present affirms it also, that so many pay so little attention to what God wants, they prefer to do things that they like and to worship their own way. From a survey of the span of human history as given from the Bible, we can observe several significant matters. 1. In the creation, God's power and provision for man is evident. The rank that God gave to man was to be his blessings, but God dissipated it through sin. And 2. We see God's displeasure with sin and his wrath against the sinner. And 3. We see the long-suffering of God, his kindness, his grace and favor toward Noah, his concern for mankind, but we also see that such has its limits. And 4, we observe the results of man's continued rebellion against God and his refusal to repent and to live God's way. And 5, we can be encouraged that a righteous life can be lived even in a perverse generation. Noah was even able to save his own family under the worst kind of circumstances. And 6, we can note that even though we live in a different age and a different dispensation, we serve the same God. They worshipped, and we are to worship, even though not the same way. They had to believe and obey to be spared, and we must believe and obey to be spiritually spared. They, for the most part, failed and were punished. We, if we fail, shall also be punished. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in verse 20, it teaches that Noah was saved by water. Having heard God's warning, being given God's instructions concerning the ark, obeying what God says because he believed God, the water, rather than being the means of his destruction, as was the case with the wicked, was the means of his salvation, lifting up the ark, Noah and his family, to safety. And 1 Peter 3 and verse 21 reads, The like figure whereunto even baptism doth thou also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now baptism involves water. Obviously, water baptism was under consideration here. Elsewhere would have been no need to explain that it was not merely a washing of the body. In spite of all the denials by denominationalists and the dry cleaners of the religious world, the Bible teaches that we're saved by water, even by baptism. It does not teach that the power is in the water, but that we are to be baptized in water. So it reads, and so it shall remain, and so we shall preach, and so ought men to obey. The earth and all that is therein shall be destroyed, once again, but not by water. God promised that there would not be another flood like that which ended the antediluvian age. Now, if the flood had been a local flood, as some contend, then God has violated his own promise many times because there's been many local floods since the days of Noah. But this flood was a universal flood, an earth-covering flood. And next time God will destroy the earth by fire, 2 Peter chapter 3. It is inevitable and it is predetermined. Are we ready for that day to come? Without warning, Matthew 24, and at a time we cannot know in advance, the end shall come and the judgment shall be. Will we have given God's word any more respect than those of the antediluvian period? Or shall we be destroyed as well? This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.